All right, I invite you to take your Bible and turn to 2 Corinthians. We're going to look at chapter 11, verse 1 through 5. And you also want to find Ephesians chapter 4. We'll cross-reference there. Today I want to talk to you about protecting your mind. This is part one of the message. And we can just tell Jim out here that there's 25 points to this message. The first 13 are today. And so maybe he'll stay for the whole service today. Who knows? And who cares? 2 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning with verse 1. I hope you will put up with me in a little foolishness. Yes, please put up with me. I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy. I promised you to one husband, to Christ, so that I might present you as a pure virgin to him. But I'm afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the snake's cunning, your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. For if someone comes to you and preaches a Jesus other than the Jesus we preached, or if you receive a different spirit from the spirit you received, or a different gospel from the one you accepted, you put up with it easily enough. I do not think I am in the least inferior to those super apostles. Lady said that she looked at her Alexa and said, play Kenneth Gorelick music for me. And Alexa paused for a moment and said, I don't find any Kenneth Gorelick music. So the lady looked at her Alexa and said, who is Kenneth Gorelick? And Alexa said, a professional saxophonist. Stage name, Kenny G. So the lady said to Alexa, play Kenneth Gorelick music. Alexa said, no Kenneth Gorelick music is found. One of the problems with technology right now is Alexa and some others have no ability to connect the dots. And I want you to know that's one of the problems in our society. We are a culture and a society that does not connect the dots because we're suffering from a lack of common sense. So this morning I want to talk to you about protecting your mind so it'll be preserved to be used in a spiritual sense. If you notice how much protection that we have passwords to protect our accounts, and our accounts are even protected for us because we can't even remember our passwords. We lock our doors at night. We have alarm systems and cameras on our homes and also in our businesses. Just this morning, as you're seated here, we have police officers working the campus. We have one circulating the parking lot. Police officers have already secured, locked all the doors except the doors coming into the Welcome Center and a set of doors at the other end of the Family Life Center for our contemporary service. They're constantly circulating. Sometimes there's somebody up here next to the camera with an assault rifle. There's lots of things going on behind the scenes. The people that are keeping your children in the nursery and kids' church, they have a rule of two. You can't be with a child by yourself. You have to have another adult. We have criminal background checks. On and on and on and on and go. We have security for all kinds of things to protect what we have and protect also our families. But one of our big problems is, as Christians, we have not been real careful about protecting our minds. Paul says here to the Corinthian church, he said, I want you to know that I love you. And he says, I have a spiritual jealousy for you. Now, there is a godly jealousy. For example, a husband who wants his wife protected has a godly jealousy for his wife. Parents who want to protect their children have a godly jealousy for their children. That word jealousy there means a God-given responsibility to keep them and to keep them safe, to protect them and preserve them. So we talk about that word jealousy here. It's not used in the bad sense. He says, I'm jealous over you with a godly jealousy. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm glad I'm not growing up in the younger generation today. They have been sold some garbage in place of Bible-based beliefs out in our society. Political correctness will go down as one of the great tragedies that helped destroy our civilization. And notice here, when we're talking about protecting your mind, this is a situation where we need God's protection. I was reading not long ago about a man who was very poor. He was a street person. He was homeless. He found an old violin. He took it to a local pawn shop. Pawn shop owner actually was a musician. This thing was filled with dust and dirt, and the old homeless man said, I need food. Will you give me $5 for this violin? Well, the pawn shop owner said, I already have plenty of violins here. I can't sell the ones I have. And so the man begged him, and finally the man gave him $5 for the violin. The homeless man left with the money. So the man started looking at the violin, and he dusted it off. And he pulled out a bow, and he just started playing. And he'd never heard music come out of a violin like this. So he got a candle, and he held the little hollow in the violin up to the candle so he could see. When he looked up in there, it said Antonio Stradivarius. Then when he identified it even closer, he found out it was one of only 100 that were made, and this was the one missing from the collection. He ran out the door to try to find the homeless man. He was nowhere to be found. Later on, the pawn shop owner sold this violin for $5,000. And the man that bought it for $5,000 sold it for $100,000. And the rest is history. Ladies and gentlemen, sometimes we sell ourselves very cheaply. You don't know what you have. You don't understand how important it is to keep yourself pure and live a godly, holy life. So let's take that and put it in the spiritual realm. We see here we need to be true to Christ spiritually, and when Christ comes again, we don't need to be corrupted with this world. Now, Paul knew that Satan is the corrupter. He describes it there in that passage I read for you. It is Satan who would draw away our love from the Lord Jesus Christ and corrupt us. Look again in verse 3. But I fear lest by any means the serpent Satan, who tricked Eve through his craftiness, may do so to your mind. So underscore, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity which is in Christ. First thing I want you to write down today, as a Christian, we need to max our minds. Several years ago, I would break out in a sweat in the middle of the day. I would start to tremble and shake, and my mind run like a sewing machine. I thought I was having a nervous breakdown. The doc drew my blood, had it analyzed. He said, you know, we need to do a fasting blood sugar test on you. I said, what is that? He said, you'll know soon enough. It lasts about 6 hours. You fast, you go to the lab, and they give you something that looks like an orange soda. And you drink that, you sit there for an hour, they draw your blood, another hour they draw your blood, you drink another orange soda, and about 3 hours into that, you collapse in a pool of sweat and shakes. And they come and said, oh, we're so glad you have hypoglycemia. You don't have diabetes, but your blood sugar's running low and you're passing out. So they sent me to the hospital nutritionist. Here's your new diet. No sweets. I gave my best solemn face at a $50,000 funeral. Do you know what I'm talking about? And so here's what she told me. She said, listen, you've got to get all of your sugar through fruit. That's like Terry Simon eating rice cake at a barbecue. He's eating rice cakes only. Do you understand? And so here's what she said. Here's your diet. It's high in protein. We want you to eat 6 small meals a day. That's called grazing. And they said, we want you to consume 3,600 calories a day. And I said, that won't fit in this body. So here's what I did. I came up with my own diet. Always eat a heavy amount of proteins before you eat desserts. Never makes you sick. And listen, I'm the doctor of nothing. I'm not the medical doctor. If you've got diabetes or hypoglycemia, do not try that. But it works for me. Proverbs 23:7 says, for he is the kind of person who is always thinking about the cost, maxing your mind, eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you. Before you can do a thing, you've got to think it. Sow a thought, reap a deed. Sow a deed, and you will reap a habit. You sow a habit, and you'll reap character. You sow character, and you'll reap your destiny. It all begins in the thought life. That's the reason the battle is being waged for the mind. Several college professors got together and studied in the field of human motivation and human control, and they were given this challenge. Reduce that subject to one simple paragraph, and let me give that to you. First, what the mind attends to, that is, what it thinks about, that's what it considers. It just falls as night falls day. If you just attend to something, you've got to think about it. Second, they said, what the mind does not attend to, it dismisses. Third, they said, what the mind attends to continually, it believes. Fourth, what the mind believes, your body and your life eventually does. Now, God's word says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. You see, God wants your mind. If you don't mind, go to Ephesians chapter 4. It's the same thing in Ephesians 4:17. Paul says, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord that you walk not as other Gentiles walk. Now, let me put that in the Silver Creek translation. The Gentiles back in those days were seen as pagans by the Jews, non-believers, those who worship false gods. He says, those of you who are Christians, he says, do not live and act as pagan people. That word vanity in that verse means emptiness. That means not having the right values. He says, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God to the ignorance which is in them because of the blindness of their hearts. That word blindness there means hardness. Talk about having a heart as hard as marble. You see, when you have a wrong sense of values, it has a hardening effect on your heart. That's why when you hear on television, 3 people were murdered in Atlanta yesterday, that doesn't faze you. You just hear it all the time. Your mind is conditioned for that. And your mind and your heart gets hardened towards that kind of news. Look in verse 9. Who being past feeling. When your heart gets hardened, your past feeling, the right feelings, the right motives cannot come in. Who have given themselves over to lasciviousness. That means unbridled lust. That's the value system of America. Then lust is going to come into work, all uncleanness with greediness. The word greediness there, that you have unfulfilled desires. Down in verse 20. But you have not so learned in Christ. Underscore the word learned, the word heard, the word taught, the word truth. All of these have to do with the mind. Verse 23. And be renewed in the spirit of the mind. When God, listen. When God wants to communicate with you, He's going to speak through your mind. I am sick to death of hearing this generation say, I was going to church here, but I decided to go to church over here because it feels good. What's feeling got to do with it? I believe I'm going to marry this person because I feel like this is my soul mate. That's not God. If you want to feel, you can just stick your hand in a wall socket. You'll feel a whole lot. Listen to me carefully. If God is going to speak to you, He's going to do so with other people, He's godly people. He's going to do so with His Word. He's going to do so through the power, the presence of the Holy Spirit, and He's going to speak to your mind. So in order to max it, we've got to protect it. Now notice, when God wants to change, how does He change you? He says here, He renews you in the spirit of your mind. When God wants to calm you down, He has to calm down your what? Your mind. Some people lay awake worried about things. Have you ever done that before? You don't have to raise your hand. All of us have. I can't stop my mind. I can't go to sleep. You've got to go to work and face a problem, and you're worried you can't calm down. I've never seen so many nervous Christians in my whole life. You know, a lot of Christians are like the man that swallowed a whole egg. He's afraid to sit down because it might hatch, and he's afraid to move around because it might break. And that's the way Christians live their lives. The Bible says, God will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on Him, and those who trust Him. God will communicate through the mind. God will change through the mind. He will calm through the mind. He'll conquer through the mind. So you can understand why Satan wants your mind. Involved in an employment situation, Warren and I had to take care of something, and before we took care of it, I said, I'm going to make you a promise. This part-time person's hooked on porn. Warren said, well, I want to do all the talking. That suited me fine. And so he went in and said, you're fired. Warren said, what age did you get hooked on porn? Said, about 16. I'm sitting over there thinking, I told you. They've been gone from here a long time. You see, that person did not guard their mind. I want you to see here, we've got to be careful. God's going to speak to your mind. The second thing I want you to write on there, this is not in your outline, just write it down. You must not listen to lies. Go back to verse 4, 2 Corinthians 11. For if he that comes preaches another Jesus whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit which we have not received, or another gospel which we have not received, another Jesus, another spirit, another gospel, lies, deceptions, distortions by the enemy. Now how does he get these things into our mind? You don't have to guess. Paul's already said in verse 3, as the serpent beguiled Eve. Listen, here's how we get deceived about our faith. First, it starts with doubt. Serpent came along the Garden of Eden, had a little conversation with Eve. Did God really say you must not eat of that tree? Did He really say that? Let me take this out here a little further for you. In our society, did God really say marriage is only between a man and a woman? Did God really say that? And you see what happens. This happens in politics too. People keep lying to you and lying to you and lying to you until the people in our society that have no common sense and their minds not guarded by Christ start believing those lies as being true. That's what happened to Eve. So first of all, there's doubt there. You start believing lies. Second, denial. Satan said, Has God really said, you shall not eat? You shall not surely die. But he's not finished yet. Satan comes along with deception. He has to take the word out before he puts the false thing in. He said, listen, if you take of this fruit, he says, you'll be as God knowing of good and evil as God himself. Jesus said the serpent is the master liar. Here's what the devil does. He says, well, God knows that you'll be as God. You'll be like him. And notice the temptation was not to be ungodly. Listen, Satan didn't even say the temptation is that you'll be ungodly. If you partake of this fruit, you're going to be godly. Are you kidding? Satan is making that promise. Wow. Do you see the subtle nature of Satan? Do you see how he is? He doesn't say don't believe in Jesus. He says believe in another Jesus than the Jesus of the Bible. You see that in verse 4. He just gives you another spirit. It'll be a great day when America learns that everything that is spiritual is not godly. He says, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits to see whether they be of God. There's a demon spirit that would mock the spirit of Jesus Christ. First doubt, then denial, then deception, and then destruction. As Satan deceived Eve, every one of you who are saved are still in the same danger. Not that you can lose your soul, but you could lose your testimony. You can lose your influence. You can lose your power. You don't understand how the devil works. Don't minimize your mind. Don't listen to lies. Well, you say, well, how am I going to know? How am I going to know whether it's the real Jesus or the false Jesus? How am I going to know whether it's the Holy Spirit or unholy spirit? Well, let me give you a third point here. Welcome the Word of God in your life. It was very obvious. If somebody comes and you receive another Jesus whom we've not preached, do you see it there? He says, be careful. Or if you receive another spirit which you have not received, or another gospel which you have not accepted, your standard for discernment is the Word of God. You see, they had already heard the truth about Jesus. They already heard the truth about salvation. They already heard the truth about God the Father, about heaven. But he says, there's some coming in that are trying to counterfeit this and pull you away from the true faith. They're teaching you about a different kind of Jesus. It's Satan, it's false. Don't you love when you get paid? Now, I like a paper check. I will take electronic deposits if you want my account number. I will do that. I don't have a problem with that. But I just like to cash my check, and I like to get just a little bit of cash. I don't like to put everything on a debit card, everything on a credit card. I just don't like to do that. I'm just old-fashioned. I just like to feel some dirty money every now and then. You know, occasionally you get a $100 bill, $50 bill, $20 bill, and you'll go to a store within 24 hours of going to the bank. And what do? You feel like a criminal. Standing in the line at Kroger, and you give them a $50 bill for your groceries, and they pull out one of those yellow pens, and then they hold it up to the light. And it's like everybody's saying, on aisle 5 here, cashier number 5, Dr. May be giving away counterfeits. But I don't do it at the first of the month. I'll do it near the end of the month. When sales are slow and they just need money, they just put it in the drawer. You know what the best way is to tell a counterfeit? Study real bills, real money, and compare it to other money, and the counterfeit will show up every single time. And that's the way you need to welcome the Word of God into your heart, because when God wants to renew your mind, God's going to renew your mind by using the Word of God. Now, first of all, here you want to master the Word. Now, listen, that doesn't mean you have to be a Bible scholar. It doesn't mean you have to have a PhD in theology. I've been studying now for about 41 years, studying the Word of God, pastoring 38 years, and I just hadn't even touched the hem of the garment of what this is all about. But you'd be surprised at how the average Christian is just saturated with ignorance about the Bible. Sometimes when you talk to some of your church members about something spiritual, or you talk to them about a biblical subject, and they look at you like a calf at a new gate, you wonder, what have we been doing here all these years? You know, some people think Sodom and Gomorrah were husband and wife. Did you know that? Some think that the epistles and the apostles were husband and wife. That's what they think up in Elijah, isn't it, Miriam? People just have absolutely no clue. Now, why don't we know? Because we ought to master the Word of God. Well, how do you do that? One way you do that is by memorizing the Word of God. Well, Pastor, I just don't have time to do that. You know what I found? Without even intentionally trying to memorize the Word of God, I have memorized it by studying it so much through the years. I just hate it when one of my Bibles wear out. And you know, you don't want me to stand up here with a Bible with duct tape on it. And you know, you say, well, you people coming in think we don't pay the preacher. And I might ought to start using that duct tape Bible. But anyway, I just don't like it when I have to try out a new Bible, because what happens is I don't have a photographic memory, but I can remember Scripture. I can quote a good bit of it, but I know whether it's on a left-hand page, right-hand page, left-hand column or right-hand column on that particular page, in which quadrant in his left upper, right upper, left lower, right lower, simply from exposing myself to the Word of God. Now listen, you say, I can't memorize the Word of God. What if I offer you $1,000 a verse? Will you memorize the Word of God? All in favor? Aye. All opposed? It's about motivation. It's about motivation. Once you've mastered, memorized, then meditate on the Word of God. I love Joshua 1:8. The book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shall you make your way prosperous, and then have good success. We hit a little financial bump last December. I didn't get up and preach on tithing. All we did is left the report in the bulletin for you to see every week. I was having my devotion one day, and I was thinking about our budget was $160,000 short for the year, starting in December. And then God sent me a scripture, and I meditated on it that day. And all God gave me was this: trust me. Okay, God, it's yours. And by the end of the month, you had given more in one single month than any single month in the history of this church. What does it mean to meditate? Ladies and gentlemen, that has nothing to do with transcendental meditation. Stay away from that stuff. I turned on TV news trying to eat breakfast the other morning, and I'm embarrassed to tell you. I get told when I get home I shouldn't have told this, but on the morning news on one of the major networks, they had this old boy on there, and he said, man, we got something new that'll help you get your day started. And they just showed just sort of a fuzzy picture in the background of his class. He said, a bunch of men, we've gotten together and we're doing yoga in the nude every morning. And we're meditating. Man, we're more productive during the day. I nearly lost my Cheerios. It's like I told you, this society has no common sense. We meditate on the Word of God. Listen, it's not going to get you in all kinds of trouble. You ever have a song that just sticks in your heart all day? I got a Charles Billingsley CD in my deck in my pickup truck. And he and a man named Chip Dorton, Chip's gone to heaven now, he died with a liver disease. They sang down in First Baptist Jacksonville years ago the song Amen. They sing it as a duet. Man, I run that thing as loud as I can stand it. And I'm singing a trio with Chip Dorton and Charles Billingsley. And then a little later on the track, he's singing, I bowed on my knees and cried holy. Man, can I sing that song in my truck? And that's what you want. And then he has another song in there that talks about why Jesus would die for a sinner like me. And I want you to know, when I listen to those in the morning, it just stays in my heart all day long. And that's why the psalmist said that oftentimes we ought to sing Scripture, because it stays in your heart and you meditate on it night and day. Now, most of our young people here did not learn how to drive on a straight shift. Dad, World War II veteran, he looked at us, he said, kids, if you don't know how to drive a stick shift, you don't know how to drive. So he took us out in his 1952 Chevy, 3-speed on the column. And that's when the jerk came in to be one of the fastest growing dances in the world, because we needed chiropractors after I got through with my first lesson. Dad said, they just let that clutch out slow, son, and I'd be giving it too much gas. And it'd shut off. Any of you ever do that before? And then you get in other cars with straight shift, they got a 4-speed, 5-speed, 6-speed. But he said, you'll remember this the rest of your life. And so that's the way I learned to drive. And then my first car was a 66 Mustang with a 3-speed and 4. Dad didn't have to show me how to drive that. Man, I could do that. Listen, I could drive with one hand, change the shift on a date, and reach up and pat my little date on the shoulder before I had to go down into third gear. I mean, it was just automatic, smooth. You know what I mean? Well, let me tell you something. If you just get in the Word of God and you'll meditate on the Word of God as you go through your daily life, it's just automatic. Temptation comes your way. You know, I was talking to somebody yesterday I met for the first time. Nice, nice man. I bet you he rattled off 20 cuss words in the first 5 minutes. I didn't know this man from anywhere. In fact, I was playing golf in another county so nobody would know me. That way people don't come up and say, my marriage is bad. Can I play golf with you? Can you make an appointment? Could you do that? So I met this guy, and so he goes on and on and on. And I mean, it's D this, that, everything else. And he said, well, what do you do for a living? I said, oh, I'm a senior pastor of a little church up in Silver Creek. And, you know, he had some indigestion that Pepsi wouldn't solve. But you know, he don't answer to me. He's got to answer to. But you know what? The Bible tells me, let no filthy communication come out of your mouth. So I didn't need to join in a conversation in a language that he understood. I didn't need those adjectives. And I want you to know, the Word of God will, listen, it'll serve you as you go, and you don't even have to think about it. It'll just be automatic. Then mobilize the Word. Ladies and gentlemen, we're in spiritual warfare. You say, well, our problem is drugs. Read the paper. Go to hometown headlines. It's one after the other. Methamphetamine, da-da-da, all the way down the line. Ladies and gentlemen, Satan has got a hook in things. Drugs, alcohol, sex, a whole lot of other things. And one of the main problems is, people have not protected their minds, and the enemy, Satan, is marching on among us. But I want you to remember what Jesus did when Satan had him out in the wilderness. 3 times, Jesus responded with the Word of God. And there's not a temptation that will come your way that the Word of God won't take care of it. But you got to have it in your mind. The last thing I want you to want to tell you is this. We've got to be out here ministering the Word of God. Now, there are people who are hungry. They're starving. These last days, there's a famine for the Word of God. Do we have any word for people? Did you know that electronically in our nation, there's 3,000 pages of information being generated in the electronic generation every single second? 3,000 pages a second. But let me ask you this. Who's going to get out the Word of God? Who's going to give them the truth? Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you, if we in this auditorium and in the gym and the simulcast, if we don't get the Word of God and the gospel out to Rome, Georgia, at the judgment seat of Christ, we're going to be held accountable for the opportunity that we blew. We have the Word. And ladies and gentlemen, the Word of God and a relationship with Christ changed my life. And if you're saved, He should have changed yours. And that same Word and that same way, Jesus Christ can change the lives of other people. Back in 1973, the World Bible Translation Center was founded in Fort Worth, Texas. The goal of that foundation is simply this: let's get the Word of God in every language of every people all over the world. Well, the problem they had trying to get this done is they could not find Christians among every language of every people in all the world. And I'll give you one example. This Bible Translation Center recruited a Chinese scientist to help translate the Bible. He was an atheist. So they got his little analytical mind in there, and they had somebody alongside him, a Christian. And he was trying to get an accurate translation for this particular group of Chinese people. And something changed within him. And before he finished the translation of the entire Bible, he went to Dale Randolph, who was there working alongside him, the organizational director. And here's what the Chinese scientist said. He said, "I've trusted Jesus as my Savior. Would you baptize me in the hotel bathtub here where we're staying?" God's Word accomplishes God's will. The same Bible that leads to our conversion will protect our minds. And that leads to behavior that glorifies the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Let me ask you, who's guarding your mind? What's guarding your mind? That's why we're so bad about going and sitting down in a theater. There's going to be some profanity. There's going to be some alternative lifestyle scenes. There's going to be some adultery. Christian people tell me this: "Oh, it's just entertainment. I don't pay any attention to that. I just love the story and the plot." Let me ask you a question. Who's guarding your mind? You're not allowing Jesus to do it. And I remember when we first started with computers back in the 70s, in Fortran, we had to write our own programs. They told us if you put garbage in there, that's all you're going to get out. And this is why the world can't see any difference in us and lost people. Because we're not letting King Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and the Word guard our minds. I'm going to leave with one question today. Who or what's guarding your mind? You stand right where you are, heads are bowed, eyes are closed.